Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's hard to keep a restaurant open for 5 years. That's the old saying, especially now when the market is saturated with new restaurants popping up every single day. So what's the secret to keeping a fine dining restaurant healthy and successful in the city of Chicago? Not just for 5 years, try 9 years. Not only did the guys at Sepia have an idea, but they're branching out. Andrew Zimmerman is the executive chef at Sepia, one of Chicago's best restaurants. And although the details are scarce, Zimmerman and owner Emmanuel Noni are opening a new place. Andrew Zimmerman, chef, welcome to The Download.
Thanks very much for having me.
So let's get it out of the way. Let's start right away. Branching out. I mean, you're here to talk about the 9-year anniversary of Sepia, which is a wonderful place. And I have a lot of questions, but let's talk about the new place. What can you tell us about the new restaurant you guys are coming up with?
What I can tell you about a new restaurant that we're going to do is, in a nutshell, what we wanted to offer is a sort of an opportunity for me and my team to expand on the flavor profiles that we already do and expand on our interest in global cuisine in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And in a sort of roll your sleeves up, have a good time, dig in slightly less fine dining paradigm than we have at Sepia.
Okay.
I mean, some of those things are the kind of food that we do at Sepia is informed in that same kind of way.
Right.
But we wanted something that was more fun, which is not to say that Sepia is not fun.
So
it is
so
a total gas.
It is just no fun.
So it is a total gas. But like, we wanted something that was more casual, more toes in the sand, rolled up sleeve kind of vibe, and still offered us the opportunity to make the kind of food that we think is delicious and exciting. And that really is our interpretation of the food from around the world that, growing up as an American, I have access to, you know, the proverbial melting pot, right? So that's the food that I think is delicious, whether no matter where in the world it really comes from.
What are you guys thinking about time frame?
We'd like to see everything done close to the end of the year.
Do you already have a location, all that kind of stuff figured out? You're just holding it close to the vest, or does that still have to be worked out?
Oh, yeah. No, we have no idea where it's going to be. We're going to have it done by the end of the year, but no clue.
No clue.
Yeah. No, we haven't even looked for a place yet.
No, of course not.
Pretty much, I bought a couple saute pans, and I was like,
we're going to do a new restaurant. The Trip Tower is selling.
You can really?
Yeah, you can just come up here and take over
the
studio.
Is this room available?
This room is available. It does not have any running water. But
that'll be an issue. We'll get the MEP guys in here. We'll sort it out. We'll put a hood fan in here and two induction burners, and we should be okay.
That's good. It is branching out for you guys because you have had Sepia as one restaurant. You've been a one restaurant kind of establishment,
right?
But this is sort of a move towards more of what we're seeing with restaurant groups, where, you know, second restaurant. Do you plan to go into more of what we see happening in the West Loop, where there's one ownership that owns 5 different places, and you're sort of jumping from restaurant to restaurant?
If we think that we find concepts that we want to pursue and locations that are good for us, I don't see why we would say no to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be we really love Sepia, and we want to keep Sepia as the restaurant that it is, and we want to continue to make it as good as we can. But we're pretty patient and selective. Having said that, you know, if I could sell out tomorrow, like, you know, for the right number.
Right.
If somebody's got a number they want to throw out there, I'm okay with it.
Well, I mean, Sepia's have been a restaurant that has always been at the top of the list. I mean, when the Michelin stars came to Chicago, you guys were one of the big, you got the star.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, you mentioned a little bit earlier, there is a lot of global inspiration. You know,
right,
that there's different flavors, different things coming from international. Where does that come from? Does that come from your studies? Does that come from your curiosity? Where does the flavors that you present at Sepia come from?
It comes from both of those things, my studies and my curiosity. Like, one of the reasons that I got interested in cooking in the first place was I was fortunate enough when I was young to have parents that would take me to a broad swath of restaurants. And so I was eating Indian food when I was like 9, and I was eating sushi when I was 9, and I was eating escargot when I was 6 and whatever. And I was always the kid who presented with the menu would say like, oh, snails, yes, please, as opposed to, ew, that's disgusting. And when I got older, I thought like, it can't be that complicated. I could just read a book and then cook this food that I want to eat. And if I can't go to the restaurant, then maybe I can learn a little bit something about it and cook it. And through that, like, I really like going to Asian markets and just looking around at crazy stuff that's there that I didn't know existed. And it's a sort of quick little day trip into another culture that through food. that I couldn't see another way of doing, you know? Like, I couldn't afford a ticket to Thailand, mm-hmm. but I could go to a market and see what their food was about a little bit and read a book that would give me an idea about what they think about food, at least. And it was a window into other cultures and other parts of the world that I couldn't find any other way, and that excited me. And so I would cook it, and I loved it. And that informs the way we cook, even though what we cook is still sort of in a kind of Western, French-based fine dining model. But all of those other things that I really think are delicious filter into it.
What was the moment in which you realized that that curiosity, mm-hmm. the ability to go take the day trips, bring different flavors in, try different things, you know, take the menus, make it your own, did you realize that this was going to be your passion? And what did you do to make it your passion? I mean, there's one thing to say, I'm very interested in this, I'm going to experiment with these flavors, and there's another to be the executive chef, running a restaurant like Sepia.
To be perfectly honest, it was really a very organic kind of situation where I got a job as a dishwasher when I was 15. At the time, thinking, like, I'm not going to work in the restaurant, this is nonsense, because I thought I was going to get a record contract or something, you know, cool.
Like we all do, right?
But who doesn't? And then throughout playing in bands, I kept working in restaurants because I knew the drill a little bit and it was cool. And, you know, I go to college and college, none of it really sat quite right with me in the same way. And like food started to take over at some point. I realized that my band played and I lost money and I went to work at a restaurant and I made money. I mean, not a lot, obviously, but I would lose money every time my band played. This is not a good business model for anybody.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, well, the cooking thing's not bad and people seem to like it and they tell me I'm good, or my band plays and they tell me that they want another $20 to cover our bar tab. So, you know, that's not really a winning scenario.
Right, right, right.
So at some point I was like, okay, well, the cooking thing could be better. And then I took a job. There was like the litmus test job of the fanciest, best restaurant I could find in the part of suburban New Jersey I worked in and lived in. And I was like, well, if this works out, you know, maybe I should take this more seriously. And so I did it. And it was awesome. And I loved it. And I learned a tremendous amount from a great guy from Italy. And then decided, okay, well, you know, I'm going to go to culinary school and I guess this is my deal. And then I was lucky enough, really, to meet a woman from Chicago. I met her in Jersey, but, you know, she was from Chicago. And we were talking about where should we end up living. I was like, well, Chicago's pretty good. Charlie Trotter's there. Rick Bayless is there. Yeah, I'd probably get a job. Not bad. And we moved out here. And, you know, 12 years later, against all reasonable thought, you know, I'm in charge of a restaurant that's actually pretty good.
Chef Andrew Zimmerman is in studio with us tonight. He's the executive chef at Sepia, talking about the 9-year anniversary of the restaurant and mm-hmm. also a new restaurant from him and owner Emmanuel Noni. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Chef Zimmerman here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight, Chef Andrew Zimmerman. He's the executive chef at Sepia, which is celebrating its 9-year anniversary. They're opening up another restaurant. Details are scarce, but they'll be – I'm assuming at some point you'll tell us the address.
I'm assuming at some point I'll know the address, yes.
The James Beard Awards, I mean, you have – you've been a semifinalist. You've been a nominee. You've mm-hmm. featured a finalist. You've had great success. You just haven't taken home the medallion.
That is true.
Yet. This is yet. Your, this your year?
It, you know, one hopes so. But, you know, the only thing that I can say about that is I am super honored to even be considered, obviously. And the people that have come before me, like just even to be in the club is amazing, right? Like if you look at the list of James Beard winners, whether it's in the Great Lakes area or mm-hmm. New York or across the country,
right.
It's a bunch of really, really heavy people, you know, like the real serious people. And I'm just happy to be in the club.
Does it help you that the James Beards are in Chicago? I mean, does it help you? I don't mean by winning an award, but I mean having the whole institution come to Chicago. Do they want to eat at your restaurant? Do they want you to throw parties, that kind of thing? Does it help you to be more included in the culinary world with the Beards here in Chicago?
Well, I think so. But I mean, we don't even really look at it like that. We look at it more like, what does it do for Chicago? You know, it's really fantastic that we have this city with so many great talents. You know, I mean, we have one of the best restaurants in the entire world is here, two at least, and some other ones that are really, really excellent, you know. And that's not my metric. That's, you know, like other people's decisions on what's, you know, the best and the whatever. But to have the attention drawn to Chicago, I mean, for a long time, it's always been New York. It makes sense. The James Beard House is in New York. The awards have always been in New York. And the New York restaurant scene is, of course, one of the greatest in the country. It's just fantastic that Chicago's getting the attention. Is it good for us? Yeah. You know, we're going to have a big party. And we're going to invite a lot of people. We did it last year. We had a great turnout. And we want to take the opportunity to show as many people that want to come what CP is about and what our idea of hospitality and food is about. But I mean, the bigger picture is like
– it's good getting, for the scene getting, here, yeah.
Yeah, and getting all the people from across the country to come here and see all of our restaurants and go to all the parties and like hang out together, and it's a blast.
I mentioned, you know, that you're this 9-year anniversary. I mean, you guys are in the West Loop. You're on is it Des Plaines you're on Jefferson right there. Yeah. But to think about 9 years ago, even 9 years ago, that was an up and coming area. To blink your eye and look at 9 years later.
Oh yeah, sure.
There are just hundreds of restaurants that have opened up within, you know, a 10-block radius of you guys.
Oh yeah. And when Sepia opened 9 years ago on Jefferson, even though it was just like literally 50 yards off of Randolph, everybody told Emmanuel he was kind of crazy. Like, oh, you know, it's not really anywhere.
Right.
Are you kidding?
It's not in the Loop. Like, it's on the other side of the river. Right.
You could take a minute and walk to Randolph. And like Randolph is that's the street, right?
Right.
So it wasn't that far off. It wasn't crazy. And if you look at the development and what's happened in the West Loop, you know, it was a really brilliant move on his part, I think, to see the potential that was there and put a restaurant there.
Well, I think about your restaurant being a pioneer of that area. I mean, obviously they had restaurants already with Jerry Kleiner's restaurants and Vivo and other restaurants that were the original
and
Randolph.
Blackbird and stuff. You know, like our side of we like to think of it as like our side of the bridge.
Your west east.
Kleiner and Vivo east, and stuff was on the other side of the bridge, and like Blackbird and Sepia and stuff.
But since that time, I mean, you've even seen like another resurgence of restaurants have come in, whether it be Girl and the Goat and Publican, and you guys, Sepia. I mean, talk about being the flag bearer of that kind of movement in this culinary scene. The idea when your restaurants came in 9 years ago, that's a great class of restaurants that all came up around the same time.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I think flag bearers may be overstating our contribution. We like to think we're pretty good, but that might be overstating the case a little.
You got five James Beard nominations.
Yeah, but there were greater pioneers in that neighborhood than us, and we've done really well, and we're really happy to be in their company. And I think it's ultimately really good for everybody that when people think of an area in Chicago where you can go and have a lot of opportunity to have a lot of great food. And the concentration of excellent restaurants that have come together in the last few years, particularly. And I think it's funny, like, you know, years ago when there was March and Kleiner had a lot of his other stuff over there, that sort of had its moment, and then it started to dip away, and then there was this resurgence of it. And I think, you know, we're glad to be part of it. But there's a lot of other great people who are doing it too.
I mentioned right at the top, you know, just the old adage that it, you know, takes a successful restaurant, you know, it's 5 years in the business. I mean, you guys have hit 9 years now. When you think about that, what does it take to keep a restaurant at the level of Sepia going at 9 years? I mean, there's been a couple restaurants north of you, a couple restaurants south of you that haven't made it. That they were highly touted and then they're gone. Mm-hmm. What is it about Sepia? What is it about your restaurant that keeps you guys going 9 years into the business?
This might sound overly simplistic, but you know, I like to think that at least at the base, it's really being committed to a couple of things like hospitality in just the simplest sense of the word, like really taking care of our guests and making sure that they have a good time, making sure that they feel like they got a good value, making sure that they got the things that they wanted out of the experience. From a culinary standpoint, it's about constantly reevaluating what we're doing. How can we do something better, smarter? How can it taste better? How can we, you know, find a product or an ingredient that is maybe a little bit novel so people are interested in it? And constantly challenge ourselves to give the best experience that we can possibly do every day. And even though from day to day that might be a very, very minor, almost, you know, imperceptible change, the cumulative effect of that over several years is hopefully the thing that keeps us going. That, and then there's some other like serious, obvious nuts and bolts stuff, like make sure the money works,
right,
and make sure you're running a smart business, and that you're taking care of the business's bottom line interests in this, you know, in a way that's smart.
Well, I mean, running a restaurant, you know, is effectively running a small business. You know, there's a lot of things people don't think about. I mean, just the ability to get ingredients, the ability to, you know, the overhead, the exchange, the, not to mention what you just mentioned, hospitality, being able to bring repeat customers. What are some of the things that stand in the way of a restaurant having success?
There's tons of things. Like, I would think, for me, you know, I'm a little bit biased on this one, but like bad cooking, you know, seems like a big one.
Sure.
But then again, like bad cooking, there's a lot of restaurants that serve food that is, you know, not particularly awesome that have been around for a long time. They're people love and go back to again and again. There are restaurants that have terrible customer service reviews on their food, and yet they're still open. The thing that they have going for them, and this is another thing that we really do try to do at CP, is like being consistent is probably one of the most important things in the entire restaurant industry, I think. Mm-hmm. Like if you go to a restaurant, and I'm not going to name one, but like a middle of the road, average, low price point, chainy kind of thing that's super consistent, they stay in business because you know what you're getting. You're like, I'm going to spend X amount of money and I'm going to get this thing. And is it the greatest thing in the world? No. But I know what I'm going to get, and it's going to be pretty much the same as the last time I was there.
Is that hard at your level? I'm not saying at Sepia, but at the level where it's a little bit more fine dining, where you have to change your menu. Mm-hmm. You have to go with the flow of what ingredients are available for you, especially when you're looking at the bottom line. Is it hard to be consistent at when you're serving food at a higher level?
Yeah. And I don't think this is just specific to us, obviously. Like, you have cooks that come and go, and you have ingredients that come and go, and there's a lot of moving parts to making sure that every single dish that goes to every single guest is at the level of quality and execution that you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not easy. But, you know, that's what we get paid for. Like, that's why, you know, that's why you show up at our restaurant and expect that we're going to do a good job. And if we don't, that's why you get to, you know, tell us that we didn't do a good job on Yelp.
Chef Andrew Zimmerman. He's the executive chef at Sepia Restaurant. We'll continue our conversation here at the Big Table after the news. Stay with us. This is a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. With me tonight at the Big Table, Chef Andrew Zimmerman. He's the executive chef at Sepia, award-winning restaurant. He's also up for a James Beard Award for Best Chef Great Lakes Region. He's been up a couple times before. This time around, he's going to win. You know, let me ask you, because I'm really interested in the ecosystem of a restaurant. Obviously, you have up front the wait staff and you know, all the people who work the phones, everything in front. But you also have, you know, the people in the back, the cooks, the chefs, all the people underneath you. How do you run your kitchen?
I think it would be more interesting if we had a bunch of my cooks here and they could answer that question, you know, because I'll tell you, like,
is this on the record?
Yeah. Like, is he going to hear this? Because for me, you know, I like to believe, rightly or wrongly or whatever, that by getting them involved and giving them a sense of ownership over what we're doing, that is a more effective strategy for running my kitchen than sort of the stereotypical, you just yell at them kind of thing.
Right. What we see on TV, right?
What you see on TV, which is really honestly not the way most kitchens are really run.
Right.
It makes for good TV, but there's a handful of kitchens that are run that way. And some of them are great, you know, or so I've heard.
That's probably any business, though. I mean, there's bosses that yell and there's bosses that don't, right?
Yeah, and I've thrown things at people, you know, and I've threatened their lives, you know.
Sure.
Occasionally.
Sure, occasionally. This fish is undercooked.
Yeah, you know, it has happened on occasion that I have been told that perhaps my temper has been lost. But in general, we like to take a more like, you know, that's just not good enough. And you're better than that. And our guests expect better than that. So you're going to do better than that. And if you're not, then we need to have a conversation about how much longer you and I are going to not do this well together.
Right.
You know, well, I mean, something like that.
I mean, it is your name at the end of the day. I mean, they're putting it's Chef Zimmerman made this fish. Even if you didn't make it, it's your recipe. It's your kitchen.
Yeah.
So you can understand what's the quality control to make sure that stays, like you said, consistent in a kitchen like Sepia.
Well, for that, the thing is, I check on whether or not it's being done the way I want. I have the luxury and the good fortune to have a sous chef who's worked with me at Sepia for about almost 7 years now.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
We worked together before at another restaurant, who really knows sort of the Andrew Zimmerman playbook and the standards that I want. And he, you know, I've worked with a guy for almost 10 years. Like, he knows what I want,
right?
And so
when you're dealing with a lot of different flavors and different, I don't want to say formulas, but just the way that you do things a little bit differently and bringing food together, you almost have to have people you trust, because I would assume you're almost going against some of the training that some of the chefs coming up have had, and they're like, this is how I do it, and you're like, well, this is how Andrew Zimmerman does it. Do you have to run into that where you're like, this is, you know, like, I'm doing things the Andrew Zimmerman way, these chefs have to learn that way?
Yes and no. Because, I mean, the real answer to that is, I am not the smartest person in the universe.
That's not what your bio says.
I paid people to write that. But, like, I have ways that I think things should be done. And if somebody wants to bring a good idea to the table, we are completely happy to steal a good idea. We're not stupid. Like, oh, that's how you cook carrots? Cool. And in this application, it seems to make a lot of sense, and we'll do it. And we all got to learn something. And then we're better cooks at the end of the day. If I was just going to be dictatorial about this is how Andrew Zimmerman does it because I'm real, you know, super smart, I would be cutting myself off from learning anything, and that's just dumb, right? That's just a bad attitude. And that also speaks to having my cooks feel like they have a little bit of ownership of what we're doing and be involved in the process. If they worked for somebody, and we've had some people that have come through the kitchen that have worked at kitchens that have a lot to offer, mm-hmm. you know, if it was just – I want them – to understand how we do it, and I want them to cook the food when we decide on what a dish is going to be. This is how it's going to be. But getting to that point can be more of a conversation, and closing the door to learning something new would be just stupid. It's just stupid.
Chef Andrew Zimmerman is the executive chef at Sepia, celebrating its 9-year anniversary here in Chicago in the West Loop on Jefferson. Also, a new restaurant that could be coming up sometime this year. Chef Zimmerman, thanks so much for being my guest tonight.
Thanks so much for having me.